Blog Talk Radio.
House of Purpose Spiritual Center for another good conversation tonight. The intro music was from Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Way. You got to look deep down inside. And when you look deep down inside, that's where you will find the God in you. Our conversation tonight is we're going to touch on spirituality or religion. Oftentimes people... Well, most of the time people confuse the two, and because they confuse the two, they're not living the life, a life of purpose, a life of death. They're not living the life which they were intended to live on this earth. We all were destined. We got a purpose for being here, and we need to figure out what it is. So that brings peace and happiness once you understand who you are. And what you're here to do, what your purpose is. Well, tonight, we got another interesting conversation. We're going to have a conversation with Mr. Andrew Francis. Mr. Andrew Francis is out of San Antonio, Texas. He's a certified hypnotherapist. He's an NLP practitioner. And another most important thing, he's a spiritual coach. He helps people find their purpose. Help maneuver through all of the, I call them distractions, to help people find their purpose. Brother Andrew, you with us tonight?
Yes, I'm right here. How you doing?
Thank you, sir, brother, for being with us. Everything
thank
is
you
good.
For having
also, 281-857-4312, I see you. We'll come to you soon. Well, Brother Andrew, we're going to get right into the conversation. And it's spirituality or religion. But first of all, just tell us who you are and what you do in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, I wear a few hats out here. You know, I'm a teacher. Like you said, a certified hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner. You know, I do life coaching, spiritual coaching, and performance enhancement coaching. So, you know, just today. I also do some, you know, intuitive readings, things of that nature, energy work. So, I mean, just a whole host of things.
What led you? Where did you? How did you come to where you are now?
Well, I think ever since I was real young, I've been real curious about, you know, spirituality and just the ability to tap into something greater than ourselves, you know. And I think as kids, that manifests in, you know, being drawn to superheroes and things of that nature, you know. And I think I've always had that curiosity and even a heightened optimism about the possibilities of those things, you know. I grew up in a very religious household. You know, both of my parents were ministers, and at a very young age, we would see things. You know, myself along with my siblings, you know, we saw all types of stuff. We saw possessions, you know, spirits of different nature, and you know, that was kind of earth shaking, so to speak. You know, that's not a conversation you can have with a lot of people. You know, hey, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that, you know, without being looked at as crazy or, you know, thrown in a sane asylum. So that was it was very interesting. And for the longest, you know, I didn't even tap into that. I think really my first reintroduction to all of that was just before my brother died. I was a senior in college, and my professor actually brought up a book about reincarnation and just having my mind spin, because, you know, I've always believed in reincarnation. You know, I had intuitive insights of times before this lifetime for myself. But, you know, I didn't know how to verbalize that, you know, so I chose not to out of fear. And I started reading the book, and just about maybe a couple of days after I read it, my brother died. And it was an interesting experience because it didn't come as a shock. That was one of the things I saw, you know, intuitively that happening. So it didn't come as a shock, but it was more so like, okay, what now? And I started having all types of spiritual experiences where I would be, you know, astrally project. And for those that don't know what that means, it's where your awareness leaves your body in journeys. You know, so I would be doing that with my brother that was deceased. And it wasn't a shocking thing to me, you know. However, I knew I had to be cautious about, you know, who I talked to about all of that stuff, so. You know, that was my first reintroduction. And then from there, you know, it's hard to go back after experiencing things like that. So I just wanted to get my hands on as much stuff as possible to help that become more and more a part of, you know, my life.
Well, with both parents being ministers, I can imagine that the conversations around the house, did at any time they say anything to make you feel it or make you think that their thought process might have been out of the box, or it was strictly dogmatic, religious to the book?
Well, you know, when I was young, I didn't know anything about other religions, you know, other philosophies. And so all I had to draw on was their experience and, you know, our experience as a family, you know. So it was really just about Christianity. And, you know, we would have talks about spiritual warfare and things like that, demons, you know, all this stuff, because that was something that was very real within our household. So, you know, it didn't seem like it was out of the box for me. You know, that was the norm at that time. It wasn't until we got a little older and my dad left that kind of stuff became less a part of our lives, you know, as far as the spiritual warfare and things like that. Not to say we didn't have any difficulty, but being able to see things right before our eyes became a lot less frequently.
Okay. Well, I'm always curious about people's, I guess their walk, their trance, how they got to where they are now, what has mm-hmm. taken place in people's lives spiritually, you know, because we all go through some type of metamorphosis.
Right.
And the church seems to always be our foundation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we have two, for anyone that wants to call in and talk to Andrew Francis. The call-in number is 646-716-8362. 567-201, I see you. We're coming to you shortly. 281-857, I see you. We're going to come to you shortly. So, Brother Andrew, what are you doing right now? What is your line of work at this time?
Oh, right now, I'm doing a lot of performance enhancement coaching. And really, what that boils down to is giving the everyday person the experience of being in tune with their higher self, you know. So it's a way to give somebody who doesn't necessarily gravitate towards the spiritual experience by allowing them to tap into, you know, their ability to just be at peace with the universe and let things flow through them, you know. So an athlete, this kind of, that's what you would call being in the zone or that flow state, you know. So I just help people to tap into that.
Mm. Well, you know what? What is your, I guess, the difference you see between spirituality and religion in regards to the people that have come to you for help?
Well, one of the things, when you think about religion, religion provides a lot of rules, do's and don'ts, things of that nature, to try to keep you on the path towards spirituality or spiritual experiences. With spirituality, it's about surrender, you know, and just understanding that things don't happen by chance. You know, everything provides an opportunity for us to grow, for us to learn. And so even the negative things that we experience in life, there may be an opportunity that you wouldn't have had wasn't presented to you, or if that didn't become a part of your life, you know. So with religion, like I said, it's really about rules and do's and don'ts. With spirituality, you start tapping into the understanding that you're an infinite being. And with you being an infinite being, there are no rules placed upon you. It's really just a matter of your thought process and what you believe and welcome into your life. And so it's a lot more responsibility when you start tapping into spirituality, because you realize that it's you that's creating your life.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, when we look at religion, you know, I try to always look at the meaning of words. And
mm-hmm.
religion basically is to bind back to something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Normally, that binding back to something deals with rules. It deals with dogma.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with a set standard of practice, which, in some regards, is not bad. If that's all, if you know, it's good for some people.
Right.
But
right.
There needs to be a graduation process, and I think oftentimes the people don't graduate from religion to spirituality. And what I see
right.
with spirituality is, you have. Religion teaches you to me, in my opinion, to wait. There's a power outside of yourself that you got to wait on. God is over there.
Mm-hmm.
You're over here, and you got to wait. And you're always waiting for something. You're waiting for Jesus. You're waiting for God.
Right, right. Yep. A savior.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Spirituality lets you know that the God is in you, and everything
absolutely.
That you need from God is within you. So at this time, I'm going to go to I'm sorry, you had a comment, brother?
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things, you know, because of my religious upbringing, I would always go back to scriptures. And some of the scriptures that stood out to me were, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world,
yeah.
you know. And so that, to me, spelled out, like, hey, whatever I'm dealing with, there's a power within me that has the solution to create beyond what this problem is, you know. So I think just simple scriptures like that would always remind me that, hey, it's always within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you, you know. So you always got to look within yourself before you, you know, start looking to find a savior outside of yourself.
Definitely, definitely. I tell you, with that, we're going to go to 281-857-4312. Good evening. You got a question for Brother Andrew? Comment? Well, okay. Maybe they just want to listen.
That's me. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Vicky. First time caller, long time listener.
Right.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Vicky?
Good. First of all, I just want to say, Baba Todd and Mr. Francis, that I feel that God and the ancestors are shining on us because I wanted you two gentlemen to meet, and y'all met, and, you know, this podcast sounds fantastic. You're doing a good job, Baba Todd, and so are you, Andrew.
Thank you so much, Vicky, and thank you for introducing us.
Yeah, definitely.
My pleasure. My question for you, Andrew, is I don't know if you heard of IFA,
mm-hmm.
and what are your feelings about IFA?
Well, I think anytime you start tapping into, you know, cultures outside of the Western realm of thought, you know, there tends to be a little bit more liberation, you know, and with IFA, there's more of a spiritual understanding, you know, and you start to tap into more of the divination tools and things of that nature. And all of that, what that does is just points you right back to what Brother Todd and I were just talking about as far as understanding the greatness that lies within you, you know. So I've heard people refer to Eastern religions as being more philosophical in their approach. And I think, you know, the same thing would be said of IFA, because it doesn't necessarily follow the same dogma or rules and regulations as much as it is placing you in touch with an inner knowingness that's there.
Definitely, definitely. Well, you know, most spiritual, I think what I would like for people to understand is that, and I know sometimes it may be difficult when we're dealing with those from the Protestant influence or, you know, church, is that it's not evil, or you're not going to hell if you study something else.
You know, that used to scare me out of my mind when I was coming up, you know, because so many other religions are looked at as being demonic or, you know, they're demonized. And so, you know, when I would have psychic experiences at a younger age, I was like, well, is this of the devil? You know, because I've heard people say you're not supposed to be able to see the future and things like that. But, you know, at the same time, in the Bible, you had, you know, different prophets and different people that were able to have that spiritual vision, you know. And so, but that just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, yeah. I think the best way, you know, what I tell people is trust your gut, trust your inner feeling. When something, whether it's a scripture or with somebody, something somebody's telling you, if it mm-hmm. don't sit right with you, just ask the question.
Absolutely.
You know, ask God the question, spirit world, and say, well, this doesn't sit right with me, but give me a better understanding of why I feel this way. And I think that's the most valuable thing that anybody can do, is ask the question. Now, when we start looking at, you know, I'm a strong proponent of history and understanding
mm-hmm,
culture. So, you know, without understanding history and culture, without adding that to the equation and just saying, say, I'm just going to read the Bible, just the Bible and nothing else, well, you miss out on so much. You know, my horizon was broadened when I began to look at African spirituality.
Absolutely.
When I looked at Lukumi, when I looked at Condomblé. Because my thing was, what were we doing before we encountered?
Before.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, and I mean, that was my same journey. You know, I started looking at religion as a timeline, you know, as a cultural timeline, really. And, you know, I said, okay, well, Judaism came before Christianity. Well, what came before Judaism, you know? And so I got into Egyptian philosophy or Kemetic philosophy, you know, and I started studying the Metuneta and, you know, Muwatta Ashby's work. And Muwatta Ashby in, what is it, Egyptian Yoga Volume 1, I believe, he actually shows the migration of, you know, Kemetic philosophy into the different regions, you know, and how it was spread even as far west as, you know, to the Aztecs and the Mayans or the Olmecs in South America. And so I was just, I mean, I was fascinated by that and how, you know, that same philosophy branched into what Druids and even the Celtics started practicing and things of that nature. And that to me was very powerful, you know, and I would strongly recommend people of all cultures to really look at their roots and spiritual roots, not just, you know, as far as their culture, but the spiritual roots, you know. So if you're of European descent, look at the Celtics, you know, see some of the stuff that they were studying. You know, if you are of Hispanic descent, you know, the Aztecs, the Mayans, you know, and you'll start seeing that there's this correlation of spiritual truths that go deep, and they really connect us all.
Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle, well, I know the biggest hurdle for a lot of people, I call them the three enemies, your three enemies, and that is ignorance, fear, and doubt. And, you know, they stand in the way of a lot of progress, a lot of expansion, a lot of people reaching, I say just reaching their destiny,
right,
where they need to be. Yeah. Sister Vicky, you have any more questions, comments?
Hi, on mute. I'm sorry. No, y'all are doing a fantastic job. No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm gonna keep you. Don't have to hang up, sister. You can hold on. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you.
All right, Brother Andrew, we're gonna go to 567-201-103. Good evening.
Good evening. This is my name is O. My name is O.
Hey, O, how you doing?
And I'm just I'm all right. I just got a quick question. When it comes to how can I put this? Okay, one night I was sitting in the living room asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that feeling you feel when you fall back into your body from a dream?
Absolutely.
It feels like that falling feeling. And something told me, open my eyes. And I opened my eyes, and there was a shadow being about 2 inches from my face. And it was standing in front of me, leaning forward, looking at me. And I looked at it. When it noticed that I could see it, it backed up. Like it stood up and backed up. And so I turned my head to the side, kind of like a dog would turn his head to the side. I'm really tripping. Like, man, I can see it.
Right.
When it noticed I could see it, it backed up about 5-6 feet away from me, and I went to stand up, and it took off and ran through the wall, like it floated through the wall. What was that? Do you have any knowledge?
So when you start, anytime you travel outside your body, in a real way, you actually step out the confines of your mind. And that's needed to gain spiritual vision. And one of the things you start realizing when you tap into that ability is that you can start to see different energy and different beings that you wouldn't normally see with our waking consciousness, so to speak, you know, or with our physical eyes. And, you know, so that could be as much as an entity, which is a stagnant energy that's been left behind, you know, that can grab onto and become ingrained with other people's personalities and things of that nature. You know, it could just be a dark being, you know, of a dark energy. So what it was, it can vary, you know. But the important thing is that you tapped into that ability to witness that. And that's going to be important for you moving forward, is just understanding that that is very much so a real part of you now, and you can tap into that anytime you desire to. You know, so to not just see beings of that, but you can also see light beings or, you know, angelic beings and things of that nature as well. And you can start calling on them for help and whatnot. So, I mean, kudos to you, bro.
No, I have seen light beings before. I can't say light beings, but I've seen the light energy around in different situations and circumstances. It looked like a little ping pong ball. And it was hitting people splashing over them.
Right.
Now, I do have another question. What would be the process for someone that's trying to learn how to do OBE or astral project?
I think one of the what I would recommend is start getting into energy work and, you know, understanding your own energy body. And you can do this just through awareness exercises, you know. So as you start taking deep breaths, start becoming aware of the energy within your hands, your feet, and things of that nature. Your hands and your feet primarily start off, they're very powerful energy centers within your hands and your feet. And so the more you start to play around with those energy centers, the more you become sensitive to energy and start, you know, moving that awareness up and through your legs, through your arms, things like that. And then once you've got the hang of that, start playing around with your primary energy centers, your chakras, so to speak, you know, and just strengthening those. What you do is really just up to you, you know. I find that different people have different protocols for strengthening those energy centers or strengthen the energy within them. And so really you've got to trust your intuition and your inner guidance as to, you know, how to go about getting the most out of it, you know. But just the fact that you're tapping into it, you'll start to get guidance from your higher self as to how you go about doing it and, you know, what to do to get you more advanced, you know. So before you start tapping into, you know, traveling outside of your body, you're going to have to build up those energy centers, because that's what's going to give you the ability to move once you're outside of your body. Otherwise, you'll feel really lethargic. And I know plenty of people have had dreams where they felt like they couldn't really move or they moved slow and things like that. That's what that is. You know, you're out of your body, but you don't have enough energy within those energy centers to actually help you to move about, you know, as freely as you would, you know, when you're in waking consciousness, so to speak.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember when I was a child, I used to dream. And, I mean, I would be flying through the air like Superman.
Absolutely.
And I would always have that feeling when I woke up in the morning that I just, you know, that like that falling feeling. That lasted all the way until I was probably like a sophomore in junior high school. And then the dream started to, that memory, me being able to remember and all that started to go away.
You can do dream recall for that. So once you wake up, jot down anything, any words that come to mind, you know, pictures. Just keep a notepad right next to your bed and do that. And what you'll start to see is that when you go back over and you start to, you know, read those words, it'll usher back more and more of those memories, you know. So you'll start to strengthen that that dream recall and enhance your third eye to be able to recall those experiences.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Oh, no problem. Thank
you. Brother Obi, appreciate it.
All right.
Brother Andrew, would you say dreams is the first step for a lot of people that you've come across, just having a lot of dreams and vivid dreams, I guess, on the road to becoming spiritually aware, aware of the spirituality?
Well, I think dreams are very powerful, and but there are a number of different ways that we experience, because some people don't remember their dreams, you know, just as he said, you know, as he got older, he stopped being able to recall his dreams. So for some people, it may not be dreams. It may be certain sensations, you know, where they may just feel a flux of energy within their legs or, you know, a throbbing sensation in the middle of their forehead where the third eye would be located, in their hands, just, you know, just things like that. Some people may hear sounds, you know, high-pitched frequency sounds. You know, so it really just depends on the person. What's important is just to start becoming more aware of what's going on, you know. So if it's a sound, rather than just pass it off as nothing, you know, just like you said, start asking yourself the question, like, what could that be? You know, what does this sensation mean? You know, what does this dream mean? You know, just however you're experiencing something that's not necessarily in the norm, just start to ask yourself questions and, you know, see what guidance comes out of that.
The number, if you want to call in and talk to Brother Andrew, is 646-716-8362. Brother Andrew, just want to take a break, man. How can people contact you if they, you know, if they need a website, phone number, whatever the case may be?
Well, my website is More to Life Solutions, MoreToLife, Solutions, SolutionS.com. And then they can reach me. The phone number is on the website. So, you know, go to the website and, you know, just check me out.
Okay, okay. Well, in your practice, when, you know, I see you listed as a certified hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner, along with being a spiritual coach, what are some of the, the techniques you use to help people, basically come to the knowledge of who they are?
Well, one of the things, I mean, we talk about awareness, and so there are different awareness exercises that you can do. There's information that states that we only are able to register about 160 bits of information per second, which, or 46 bits of information per second. And with that said, there's awareness outside of that that we aren't tapping into. And so depending on where we direct our awareness is what we experience, what we allow into our experience, you know. So just the same, somebody that comes into, you know, talk to me and they're trying to get their life on track, they often would tell me about all the bad that's going on, you know. So what they've done is saying, okay, well, I'm aware of all this bad that's going on, you know. But what that means is that they have not given as much attention to all the good things, you know, that are happening. Like just the fact that they're breathing, that they're, you know, able to speak with me, I mean, that's some good stuff, because not everyone is able to do that, you know. So it's just a matter of directing their attention to certain things. And a lot of times when we talk about spirituality and really tapping into your power, it's not going to be the big picture things that we think of. You know, when somebody comes to me and they're like, they want to enhance their performance, I'm not going to work on their, you know, their mechanics of whatever it is that they're wanting to do. We're going to start with what keeps you going first and foremost, you know, your breathing, your sight, your vision, you know, being able to tap into the subtle things, because that's where real power is. You know, it's not in the big things, it's in the subtle things. So those are some of the things that I do. I take them through different awareness techniques, different breathing patterns, and what that does is it actually shifts their consciousness, you know, puts them in an altered state of consciousness where they're more sensitive to, you know, different phenomena, different energies that are within their body, you know, around them, all types of stuff. So
well, you know, you mentioned that you just basically used your intuitiveness. How did you develop that, and when did you first recognize that you had a gift of intuition, or your intuition was strong?
You know, I got into, I, like I said, I've always been drawn to spirituality. So about my senior year in college, I just started reading everything I could get my hands on. You know, I started coming across different people that were spiritual. One of my mentors, His name is Amish Jamil Sami. I hope he's listening. But he was very influential and just reminded me of how great I could be, you know. And so
okay.
he talked to me about different energy centers to tap into, and all I needed to do was hear that. And so from there, I started grabbing any book I could on chakras, on just anything, in numerology, astrology, everything. And the more I tapped into that, it just opened the floodgates.
Well, you know, when people in the church hear all of those terms and those modalities, you know, they get scared and they sending you to hell. But I would just like to point out, that really when you go into Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, the 18th, is like the 22nd
uh-huh.
verses,
uh-huh.
it talks about using the stars and the sign and the seasons as signs and understanding it. And
absolutely.
If anything I would like for people to come to is to remove the fear. I go back to those three things again: ignorance, fear,
right.
and doubt. And
I was gonna say, you know, a scripture that used to help me when I was younger was, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, you know, if you're not yeah. utilizing that power, that love, and that sound mind that you've been given, then of course the, you know, the absence of that is gonna be fear. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you look at what Christ said, he said, "I came." You know, that you can do greater things. And, you know, when I leave,
yeah.
I want you to be able to do greater things than I can. So my question
absolutely.
Is, always, okay, if Christ wants me to do better things than what he just did, then I would just like, you know, I always ask, I say, man, you know, if he always said when he left he wants to do greater things, don't look like we're doing no greater things, you know? So,
right.
Because, you know, Jesus was the man. He was the boss. You know, he was doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
changing the water to wine, healing folks, and I just didn't see that. So I think a lot of times the fear is the first thing, you know, when we look at religion it in our community, and, you know, it is where I focus a lot. That's what a lot of people come to me for help. That's just where I am. It's fear-based. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're scared. We're scared we're going to hell, or we're scared God going to punish us, so, you know, we going to get left the rapture. We ain't gonna get. So it's a bunch of fear that's just continuously being thrown at us. And sometimes I don't know what that takes to get over. I just say people have to travel the journey, and when it's time for them to be awoke, you know, it'll happen. You know, they'll get out the matrix. But I'm sure. You know, what's your opinion on that? I know you've seen a lot of that.
Well, I mean, definitely. Fear is real, you know. But it's only as real as you allow it to be, you know. If you don't challenge that fear, then, you know, you'll be crippled. So, I mean, it just takes you, I guess, hitting your head enough to know, hey, I need to wake up. And that was my thing. You know, I was playing basketball, and it wasn't, you know, I had an interest in this stuff, but I was just like, well, yeah, I'll do that on the side, or I'll look at it, you know. But, you know, I kept experiencing injury after injury, or things just weren't happening for me. And I was just like, you know, okay, what is this? What is this? And I think a lot of time that's when people actually start to become more spiritual. You know, they got to hit their heads a few times. You know, that's when we wake up, because, you know, only in your despair – I mean, I won't say only. I'm not going to put that on everybody. But a lot of times in despair is when we feel like, okay, well, we got to call on them, you know, or now I got to learn something. And in that desperation is when, you know, spirit speaks to us, because we finally allow ourselves to slow down enough to listen.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing that goes untapped for most people is understanding the power of their mind and how they can make things manifest and transform things with their thoughts, you know. Talks about in Romans 12:2, you know. I try to give people scriptures since they always try to throw them on me.
Absolutely.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean,
right.
To me, the most powerful thing that God has given us is our mind.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and that's why I'm a proponent of meditation. And how, you know, do you use meditation in your practice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, we talk about meditation. We talk about altered states of consciousness. You know, all it is being able to go within. You know, when you close your eyes in prayer, it's a form of an altered state of consciousness that you tap into, you know. Albeit you may not recognize it as such, you know. And so I look at meditation as you listening, you know, whereas prayer is you talking. And, you know, so that's definitely something that I tap into within my practice and help other people to do so. And depending on who I'm working with, I may not call it a meditation. I may call it, you know, awareness exercises or things like that, you know. But it really ends up being the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. I just think, you know, I just would like to see more people do that and recognize, like we said at the beginning of this conversation, is that, you know, you have a lot of the God resides in you. I think the biggest mistake is when we place God outside, or he's out there, and you have no power unless it's God. But I understand where that teaching has come from. A lot of that is dealing with control. A lot of that is dealing with fear.
And it's easy to buy into it because, you know, if we don't, then we can say, well, it's this person's fault or this person's fault, you know. But just like I said earlier, you know, when we're talking about spirituality, there comes a responsibility. Like, hey, this is you. You know, you're making these choices.
Yeah.
And so nobody can save you from the choices you're making but you. Just stop making those choices, you know. So, I mean, it can be an earth-shattering, you know, concept to come to when you realize that, hey, I'm manifesting this bad stuff, but it can also be something very powerful and enlightening when you realize that, hey, if I can manifest this, all the stuff I don't want, then I can definitely manifest some stuff that I do want, you know. So it just depends on your perspective.
Definitely. I know people don't realize is that whatever you think, whether good or bad, it's going to show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to manifest.
Absolutely.
So why not? So a lot of that is because we haven't been taught, though, brother. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I just don't think we've been taught to really to rely on ourselves